Get him.
Yeah.
All right, good girl.
I think that would be shooting your load.
On planet Earth, at the peak of human ingenuity, we still haven't managed to save ourselves from... Two brave souls have decided to take on our enemy to prevent the world from falling into the...
Let motherfuckers feel the climate change. Let motherfuckers feel the climate change.
Here we are. Welcome to The Sinkhole. Hey, it's JP.
It's Casey Snow.
And today we are going to dig a little deeper into that.
Maximum carbon sinkhole.
There are a ton of what the fuck moments going on here around maximum carbon sinkhole. Are you experiencing the same self-skepticism? What the fuck are we doing?
What the fuck are we doing?
We think that we're doing the right things. We think that we're involved in the right things. We think our head is in the right place.
We're making the right choices all the time.
And yet, Casey and I have been compiling many recent what the fuck moments, which we are going to get into right now.
Right.
Do you know what we're talking about? Do you feel like you're doing activism? Do you feel like you're eating the right way? You're making the right choices? And even beyond that, we've made fun of before this idea that you can neoliberal consumer choice your way out of right. this fucking shithole. There is no way. But even if you're working on your permaculture farm,
right. You're just changing your way of life. You're like, you know what? I'm going to live in the second world. And then you're like, well, wait, this feels either too far first world or too far third world. Yeah. So what the fuck are we doing?
And Jasmine Dale from the last episode, that interview where she talked about living in intentional communities. And
which I missed out on because I was doing first world stuff like getting needles put in my back where they were burning nerves. And I was getting anesthesia that was turning off my personality.
So thanks for that. Maybe.
Maybe my back doesn't hurt anymore.
Well, Jasmine pointed out that, you know, when it feels like you're doing something really different, when you're super dropped out, when you're living that second world lifestyle, sometimes you're still walking around in the mood and you still feel like you're grinding. And I think the way she put it was, it feels like you're still repeating patterns from the first world.
Yeah, yeah.
Which can lead to all these what the fuck moments. You're like, I live in the mud. And yet I feel like I'm commuting. This is the exact same feeling that I had when I was sitting on the freeway. What the fuck am I doing?
Right. And then you're like, well, but I have a smaller carbon footprint. And you're like, yeah, but I burn wood every day.
Yeah.
That seems wrong.
And, you know, I don't seem any happier sometimes. So in any case, KC, serendipitously, we were just compiling these what the fuck moments. We had been talking about this as self-skepticism. Like, are we right? Are we doing the right thing?
Yeah, because then we're like, are we crazy? What? Is this really happening? What's happening? Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
Who cares if we're doing any of this shit? Who cares if we're growing our own
food? And we should probably also point out that we have no idea what's going on in the world because we have actually gone on a complete media diet.
And that's the thing that I'm not what the fuck about.
No,
I'm like
that
stoked.
Is for real.
I blocked like 20 websites on my computer and it's been fucking great.
Yeah, I only read about cats and plants.
Yeah.
That's it.
So there was many ways that maximum carbon sinkhole could have gone. And one of the ways that we did not want it to be is a constant media critique on all of the latest and greatest collapse news.
Right.
And it's almost because it's too easy.
It is too easy. And also, like, we already know. We know.
Yeah.
We know. Know. We've known. We've known. It's funny. We've known.
And what I said to KC, and I think about it a lot, was knowing the exact amount of plastic in the air, because we're still working on that,
right.
It's not helping me be a better husband or a better gardener.
Right. And the thing is we aren't saying that we're putting on the Oculus.
No. No, 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 no.
You know, we're not like trying to avoid reality. The thing is that we can see it here. I mean, we experienced a little drought action that was weird and unseasonable. You know, we see the changes and the differences and things. And so we don't need glasses to hide, and we don't want those. But what we don't want is what's being fed to us.
Right.
So.
All right. Without further ado, here are 11 what the fuck moments. We've got the animals. It rained a little bit this morning, so we were taking the odd day off from lots of manual labor that has left us going, what are we doing here?
Right. Although I still did work like an hour and a half this morning, but
she got really sweaty. All right, KC, I've compiled these like I said, serendipitously, as we have both looked at each other going, huh, what?
Yeah.
And written them down. And I'm sort of surprising her with the order. So yes. Working from 11 to 1, 1 being the biggest what the fuck moment. 11, KC. Here's a theme that we're going to return to quite often in this list, which is about this massive watering project that we've got going on. Mm. So here's the 11th biggest what the fuck moment we've experienced recently. Throughout the entirety of your multiple thousand dollar week-long property-wide irrigation project, wondering how dumb you are for building a system to water your food that still relies upon a completely global supply chain and might one day be rendered useless if the hardware store is suddenly out of that one little $5 valve that you need because it's been turned into a detention facility.
Right. And also, you know, hooking into city water is maybe not the most sustainable thing if things really do collapse.
Yeah. And so that's that's what we've been doing, right?
Right.
We've got a multiple thousand dollars. They say in permaculture design, like, get your water first, right?
Right.
Get your water infrastructure first.
Right.
And yeah, that's cool. But we didn't start with a blank slate and we didn't really know what we were doing the first 50 things that we planted.
Right.
We were like, oh, I think we're actually.
And there was irrigation here.
Yeah, for lawns.
Already, for lawns. So it wasn't really useful for anything else.
Yeah, and here's a funny thing, too, is that it would have been smart to actually retrofit that existing irrigation system. And every time that I'd planted something or put a fence post in the ground and I had busted it because I didn't know where it was,
right.
I fixed it until we put the solar array on the barn.
Yep.
And we had eight dudes crawling around here and we had to dig a big trench between the house. And then by that time I was like, I don't fuck it.
Fuck it. We fuck hate it. Irrigation is stupid. It's a waste of water.
Yeah.
Like, no way. We're never going to need that.
No.
That is stupid.
No way. No way.
Yeah. So here we are.
So here we are. Yeah. Hundreds and hundreds of feet of polypipe plastic that comes from somewhere. It said it was made in the USA. Okay, cool.
Sure. Was it? Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
So it's running all over the place and, you know, putting in 30 different little spigot areas. This project is in no way done yet.
No.
But in any case, so we got this polypipe running anywhere, and I keep wondering, you know, what happens if there's no more of this someday? We're spending a lot of money and effort, and, you know, should we be using steel pipes? Should we be using our bamboo reeds? You know, what's the second world way to deliver water around your property? What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck? All right, so that's a big what the fuck moment. This irrigation project we will refer back to several times. All right, KC, here's the 10th biggest what the fuck moment that we've experienced recently. You'll like this one. While visiting several area used building supply restores of various specialties, claiming to keep stuff out of the landfill, walking around there only to feel that they were a worse public nuisance and biohazard than the actual landfill.
Right.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Do you remember how we felt when we were at the Gainesville place that was supposed to keep building supplies out of the landfill?
Yeah, it was all overpriced and it was just a mosquito haven.
Yeah, it was a worse biohazard than the landfill.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
And so that's what we've been doing. We've been looking for planters.
Right.
And some random building supplies that we need. But mostly planters, just interesting planters.
Because planters are expensive. And also, I mean, what the fuck are we doing? They're supposed to live in the ground. Well, we want them in this special place that happens to be where concrete is.
Yeah. And we want to take some of them inside. And we don't want to buy the plastic ones from Walmart. We did that anyway.
We did that anyway because we were like, what the fuck are we doing? We fucking travel all over the place to try to find recycled shit that we can't afford, which is insane because last time I checked, nothing ever actually gets recycled anyways.
Yeah. So have you been to one of these places that is supposed to recycle stuff and keep it out of the landfill? We have been to several of these in the last 2 months.
Hoarders. They're just hoarders.
They're hoarders.
They're hoarders that do not want to sell anything because it is all precious.
And
it's kind of insane.
It feels like we left one of them when we were like, we should really call the public health safety because there's some crazy people here.
Yes.
Yeah. Posing as a nonprofit.
Yes.
And this place is making people sick because of all the mosquitoes and the fucking garbage piled everywhere.
The garbage piled
everywhere.
Yeah. Insane. Insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
And so that was a big what the fuck moment.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know. I guess we're going to Lowe's.
Yeah. Or Walmart. Fuck it. Yeah. Who cares? Plastic? Sure. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Because all of the stuff that we saw at a couple different places were like, this is actual junk. And these people need a visit from the health department.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you recently spilled your rations in embarrassing fashion? Ever eaten allotments with your bare hands and suffered second-degree burns? Experience spontaneous mouth, hand, and or anal sores? Is caustic food melting the first world's utensils while you eat? Try the Sword Fork Spork! A sword and a fork!
Revolutionary!
Changed my life!
Why didn't they think of it sooner?
I mean, I was hoping for a spear fork spork. I mean, I believe in the sword theory, obviously. When I first heard about it, I thought, of course, well, the new spork will have to be a spear and a fork because of spelling rules. But I was wrong. After cutting, literally, my way to the front of the ration line with the sword fork spork, I was finally able to eat my rations in peace.
After 30 million requests, your pals at Flavor Chem have done it again! The sword fork spork! Never fear your food!
Not for use with liquid wasabi malos.
Okay, KC, here's the ninth biggest what the fuck we've looked at each other many times recently and going, I don't fucking know. All right, here it is. Weekly parenting vacillation between seeing the utter uselessness of school, but also feeling like maybe you really should still push your kid to get into Harvard in case you're wrong. Maybe that is the easier way to fulfilled life. What the fuck, right?
What the fuck?
How do you know the right thing to do? Because school is fucking stupid.
School's dumb, and paying for school is even dumber, and there's not going to be any jobs in the future. But at the same time, like, I don't know. Didn't people my age think this in the 80s? Probably. So is it just always going to be fucked and maybe going to fucking some shitty college and learn how to be in the machine is the right thing to do?
Yeah. And here's why it's come up on several.
And also the fear is, of course, of him, you know, turning into a, you know, neoliberal pastor or something.
Where he's spreading the gospel of neoliberalism, not necessarily through religion, but maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of one and the same.
Well, that's a thought, right? You're sort of like, okay, we're going to teach him to deal with the world that is more hostile. He can grow his own food. He can be more grounded. We could keep him from advertisements. Like, he's pretty grounded. Like, he's pretty connected to nature.
Right.
And you sort of wonder, like, well, when we fucking push his ass out of the coop or out of the tree, it's like, here you go. Like, maybe he'll be totally screwed because it's hard out there. And unless he goes to, like, live in a tent on someone else's permaculture farm.
Because what I imagine is the world that I was that, you know, and there was still, you could get a shitty job. Anybody could get a shitty job. You can't do that anymore. I mean, there's, everybody's looking for that shitty job. Like, back then it was like, there was openings. They weren't great openings, but.
Yeah. And like, we've kept them away from a lot of technology at home because they have iPads in front of the fucking kids.
Yeah, it's insane.
Faces at school, and you know, I know a lot of people that are like teaching their kids to code or whatever, and we're just like, we're not doing that. But then it's like, maybe he does need to, because that'll beat fucking, I don't know, like picking through the landfill for scraps.
Because if we can't
scraps,
figure out how to be out of the machine entirely, what the fuck are we doing trying to train?
Yeah, don't be in the machine.
But you gotta a little bit. Wait, what?
Yeah, I feel like we're going down the path of being like, listen, you will be fulfilled if you join the Merchant Marines and you only live out of a backpack
for
80 years.
I think we've both come to the idea that he needs to go just Peace Corps or the fucking whale ships or whatever, you know.
Yeah, the anti-whaling ships.
Well, yeah, but the people that shoot the whale people.
Yeah, the people that shoot the whale people. Yeah.
Not the whale people, because those are the whales, but the people that are.
Whales are people in this scenario.
Yeah. Whalers.
The whalers.
They kill the whalers.
Be an anti-whaler, CCR. Yeah. And he came home with this packet because his teachers were encouraging him to apply to get into some accelerated program at the public school.
Yeah, that's right? What it was. That's right.
And we were talking about this.
And we were like, he kind of needs to learn how to fucking deal with shit, like, because he's a little bit lazy. And, you know, this was like, how, you know, this is going to make him work harder, which we're like, yeah, he needs to work harder. He needs to learn how to work harder. But then we're like, but does he? I mean, that's like what we were always taught. You got to learn how to work harder. And for what? Like,
yeah. And that's what I mean. We facilitated weekly back and forth and back and forth. And finally, I was sitting with him and we resigned ourselves to kind of do nothing with it. And it was because I asked him, I was like, well, CCR, what do you want to do? And here's his money quote. He said, I don't want to go to more school than is necessary. And I was like, fuck, it's hard to argue with that.
It is. Point. But at the same time, I'm like, well, you know what? Then he needs to.
Because he doesn't want to.
And I'm like, wait, but is that, that's really first world.
Yeah. So what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah.
Do we like, we think school is stupid.
So basically,
but maybe not.
We just left it that and he's not going to be in it.
Yeah. And he'll just, listen, if he's a slacker burnout because we didn't push him hard enough, what the fuck? We don't know what the fuck we're doing here in the second world.
Right.
All right. So that's school. Number eight. What the fuck are we doing? We have experienced a what the fuck moment in trying to go down to one car, you know, for the planet. But what do you do when you're not able to actually sell the second car you want to get rid of?
Right. That was the lamest thing ever. We were like, we're going to save money.
Pumped up.
On insurance, and we don't need this car. We only have one vehicle. This is going to be great. And nobody wants it.
We cleaned it up. We took the
pictures. It's because we can't offer a 100-year loan.
Yeah.
That's it. We should just offer a 100-year loan.
We were like, in bigger cities, I was like, we could get $8,000 for this car. And I was like, I'd take six. If someone waived like five, I might consider it. But we didn't even get any calls.
But when we got, but once it's less than that, it's like, but what if something happened where we did need two cars and then we wouldn't be able to buy one for that amount that would last? And then it's like, what the fuck are we doing?
What
this is
fuck?
Insane.
What the fuck? Yeah, this we spent a lot of our time trying to figure out a better way to live.
Well, cheaper, you know? We don't
cheaper.
Have to pay the registration, the taxes.
The fuck, man. Like, we just grew up in an era where everyone's got a three-car garage and fuck you. Yeah. And Casey and I grew up, we were in the car. We were
all
that,
the time.
That age where we were just in the car all through the 80s and it sucked. And we're like, fuck you. We just want one car, except we can't even get
we
rid of this
We can't get
one.
Rid of it. We can't get rid of it.
So we have two cars and one of them is rotting in the driveway now.
Yeah.
What
yeah, and we even took the Bernie sticker off.
Yeah, we did.
We were like, it will not solve the Bernie sticker.
We better get rid of that. What the fuck? All right.
Not that that's a current endorsement.
No.
I mean, it kind of is, but...
It might be, but...
I don't know.
We sent that check out.
Is he even running? I don't know.
Yeah, that was...
I actually know that.
Was the last time, and that was the best we could do.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
All right, Casey, here's number seven. Has this ever happened to you out there? This what the fuck moment is when you are building an extensive terraced raised garden bed. Hugel culture inspired. Hugel culture? That's where they put the wood in the raised bed. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that. Hugel culture.
Hugel?
Yeah, so have you ever been building one of these crazy raised bed things? You're using all the materials around you. You're thinking like it's super eco-friendly. And you're also doing this in the only full sun, southern-facing exposure of your property, right?
Right,
you're putting
of
it in the right spot.
Yeah.
You're like, I got all my design principle, and we're doing this, and the stuff in the woods, and then. Do you ever do this only to have a dozen different neighbors come over to claim all you've done is invite termites into your home with all that dead wood? Like, the first five, I was like, fuck off, man, you don't get it. But then other people that have been there longer, I'm like, well, are there termites? I mean, like, I think and the guy's like, yeah, well, they don't climb the block walls, but then they get in the crack and then they go up and eat your rafters. And I've seen it happen. And I'm like, oh,
I didn't
fuck,
even
man.
Know anyone did that.
Yeah. So what the fuck? I've been proud of these beds.
You should have just talked to me because I know that that's not true. I learned that in the Master Gardener program.
Oh, so we are safe.
We are safe.
So this isn't actually a what the fuck moment.
I mean, you just have to keep... termites are weird. So termites have to be... They're subterranean. That's really the only ones that are here, the subterranean ones. And if they're in the air for any amount of time, they die. So they... Unless the dead wood is touching, they're not coming.
So the what the fuck moment in this case was I should have punched all of the neighbors.
Exactly.
I should have been like, you don't know what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
Well... In any case, and even the termites, I was trying to make friends with them. I was like, well, I mean, somebody's got to eat the dead wood.
Exactly.
That we brought.
They have a job.
Yeah.
And really, when they're eating our structures, they're like, I'm helping you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Casey. You've made me feel better because I was feeling great about these
raised beds. It's still a what the fuck moment, though, because we're planting trees that came in the mail.
Yeah. That's
in the raised beds. So
it's a little what the fuck. So, yeah, you look at this and you're thinking the global supply chain is still involved in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got the cardboard, but the cardboard wasn't local.
And the cardboard, if the cardboard wasn't from a dumpster dive, it came to us via the Amazon ferry, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So that's a little bit what the fuck.
Yeah.
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 What the fuck are we doing? I think we feel good about our raised beds. I feel better about them now. I'm glad I shared that with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another what the fuck moment. And again, we're hoping that you can write us with some of your own what the fuck moments. carbonsinkcall@protonmail.com. We've been working on a grape trellis. That was the big project before the water project.
Yeah.
The grape trellis.
Yeah. We got muscadine grapes and one variety. It gets enormous.
Yeah. And so we put them in the ground and we were like, oh shit. And so has this happened to you? It's while you are building your grape trellis and arbor and spending way too much money because the grapes you ordered online, as you just said, were growing fast as fuck,
right?
In the pots.
Yeah.
And
like
you put them
crazy
in the ground.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit, this thing is going.
Because when we planted them, we thought, okay, we'll plant them and then we'll go to the summer. And then we're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And so we spent way too much money, took way too much time.
Yes.
We built like these super trellis and grape arbor only to see the grapes turn into bushes because we didn't know a fuck all about pruning them properly. So they turned into vines.
Not to mention that on the edge of our property, it turns out we already have
volunteer wild ones growing.
Huge, huge, huge terrace, natural terrace of muscadine grapes.
Yeah. And that was CCR actually pointed that out.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, those are growing back there on that huge, crazy vine hedge. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So there's two what the fucks.
So, but we've got a really expensive trellis and arbor up now.
The arbor, when we do learn how to do this shit, is going to be on point.
Yeah, it's going to be popping.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, wow, they put some time and money into that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was panicked. It was like, oh, my God.
It was because we were like, we don't want to lose the grapes. Oh, no, they're just ground grapes now.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
Cool. So,
they're next to a really nice, wonderfully built apparatus.
What the fuck? It's just, I guess pruning. We need to
learn
more about
pruning. Pruning is a thing.
Pruning. What the fuck? How does pruning work?
It feels weird because
you're like. We have pruning shears.
I'm cutting you.
Yeah, I'm cutting you so you do better.
I know. I know better how you grow. We're so stupid.
Yeah, we're dumb. We're dumb. All right. So focused on the right thing, the wrong thing. I don't know.
Right.
Was it the right amount of money to spend? Is it that it's here for 20 years? I don't know. What the fuck?
I don't know.
What are we doing? The consternation is building as we just move up the list here. All right. Back to the drip irrigation project. Mm-hmm. So step one is to run hundreds and hundreds of feet of pipe everywhere, of poly pipe, to try to get water within what we decided on was around 20 feet of everything we had planted. Mm-hmm. Both perennials that are going to need water in the winter, and then also places where we're growing pollinators or vegetables.
We do largely have drought-tolerant plants, but because a lot of this is food-bearing, in order for it to actually create food, it really can't be completely in a drought because it will produce a lot less. So there's that.
And what we have found is that we're trying to actually reduce our labor inputs into keeping this place together. And even if we buy a pollinator plant, we have found that to establish it, you need water to light for the first month.
Right.
And we have been, placing pollinators around, and then it's like, oh shit, now we got to lug water out there.
Right.
And then we go to a plant sale and we load up the trailer and we come home with 40 pollinator plants.
Which are cool. Hot. And there's so many more butterflies and bees. Like, it's fucking.
Yeah, it's been
awesome. Blue bees, green bees, fucking mimic flies that eat the bees.
Oh, you saw a butterfly today. You were like, that's not in the book.
I haven't even seen that one. That one is like peach colored. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Huge.
I like your story about the drunk bumblebee.
Oh, yeah. We've got a vagrant bumblebee problem. Mm-hmm. I think it's three or four times now that I found him. First thing in the morning, he's frozen because the sun hasn't come out yet, and he's like stuck on a flower, and he looks dead, and it always scares me. I'm like, oh, a bumblebee died. And then I blow on him and he starts twitching a little bit and he's fucking drunk on pollen out of his mind. He fucking never made it home. Fucking his wife is pissed. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because obviously I assume it's, you know, a hetero relationship, but whatever. So
way to cisgender.
I know.
Bumblebee.
I totally did that. I'm sorry. But either way, this dude is like, he's got a problem and it's adorable. And so I've every four different mornings I found him drunk and I've brought him back to life by blowing on him or trying to get my hands around him to warm him up. And then what does he do? He goes right for the flower. He's like, oh fuck it. I need some more. I need some more, you know? So we've got that going on.
Yeah. And
which is why planting more pollinator stuff is fucking cool. Cause you get fucking drunk ass bumblebees.
So we're into that. And so, you know, we try to get water. That's our plan, is to get it within 20 feet, 25 yeah. feet of anywhere we think we're going to plant some shit.
Right.
This project is nowhere near completion.
No.
But then to go from the water source to the actual plant itself has created numerous what the fuck moments. What are we doing here? Mm-hmm. We're trying to get away from the rat race. We're trying to pare down. We're trying to connect with the earth. We're trying to grow our own food. We're trying to
be sustainable.
Yeah, we're trying to restore this ecosystem. We're trying to make it a healthier place to live, not just for ourselves. And then you go to buy valves, hoses, and any sort of drip irrigation, and it's all made with cancerous plastic and rubber and fucking lead.
Yeah, insane. Insane.
You want some brain damage? Try to find water drinking safe stuff to water your vegetables.
And honestly, think about it. If we haven't managed to do that, we can't. There's no hose bibs that don't have lead. Sorry. Like, we can't do that. What are we doing? Are we really going to stop doing anything else?
Yeah.
I think the answer is fuck no.
Yeah.
And so we're even like, well, maybe we just got to do it. Like, this is the world we live in. The first world is cancerous.
It's
And
it's
we can't get
world.
Away from that part anymore because there's not a river on this planet that isn't contaminated by our bullshit.
Well, wasn't that the scary thing? Remember when we were looking at like eco-friendly hoses and all of them, they were sort of rated on a scale.
Yeah.
Right? It was like the most eco-friendly ones. Well, this one, it's made with this thing that de-sexes children, but it doesn't have any lead. And then this one, it doesn't have any lead, but...
But people are still known to go crazy sometimes if they use it.
Yeah. And so there's this like eco website that has experienced this problem before and tested some of these hoses. And the quote on there that I remember was something like, it may be disconcerting for any home organic gardener trying to figure out a healthier way to raise their fruits and vegetables that, unfortunately, we do not live in the pristine world that we wished exists. And I was like, fuck, man, I'm just here to buy hoses, man. I just need to buy the fucking hoses. I mean, you're right. But which one should I buy?
Right?
Please. Well, and this goes back to the other point is like maybe we should be running bamboo pipe and hoses everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, is that what the fuck we're supposed
exactly.
to do?
Exactly.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Is that the time that we should be investing?
Right. And well, and then there's the thing. It's the time. Like the whole reason we're doing this fucking project is because I'm out watering.
Oh, way
for
Jesus.
Way too long, and. I mean, because we haven't had rain too. So the days we have rain, we're fine.
The time.
So we go, I'm spending all this time, but if we're going to go to like making bamboo piping, something tells me that's super time consuming.
Yeah. I bet there's a lot of maintenance involved.
And I bet there's a
sure
learning curve too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, what the fuck, man? And then we even got to the point where like, I guess we'll just do the lead stuff because I mean, what are they watering the organic food we're eating now anyways?
Right.
But then we're like, so we're accepting this?
That seems fucked up.
That seems fucked up.
Like we can't water our shit without lead fucking ball valves.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, there's a chance that it won't leach into the water.
Yeah. And even the best shit is like, well, it's under the standard for the Safe Water
right,
Drinking Act.
Right.
So you got to look for this label and then there's a certification. You go to the website. Does it meet the 2011 standard or the 2014
right.
standard? You
right.
know.
And the EPA is now saying that lead really isn't a problem.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's everywhere.
I'm assuming that was a headline at some point in the past month.
And so they do it. It's like, look, I mean, I don't know. What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck? So, yeah, you want to go crazy like start an irrigation project and say, you know what? Well, it's going to be safe.
Right. And then what
it's going to be free of poisons.
What the other option is maybe we shouldn't be growing anything. But then we're like, well, then what do? We just keep doing what we're doing, which is really dumb.
And then you think back to, well, what's the other way? And you're like, I guess we should live by a stream.
Right.
And those are all polluted too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like, let's say we say, you know what? What we'll do is we're just going to fucking forage. You know how long that'll last before we're in jail?
Mm.
Not long.
Not long, yeah.
Not long.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, and I'm not even talking about using the grocery store as a forage. I'm talking like legit foraging.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're still going to be in jail because we're going to be on somebody else's property. Like we can't do that. So we're going to have to find a way to water things when there's no rain. And let's hook into city water because that's the smartest thing to do.
Yeah.
Because obviously when everything ends, at least the city water will still be there and it's probably clean, right?
Well, and what I've been banking on is the fact that I'm like, well, if we have 10 years, maybe we'll get a well. Within 2 years, I think we'll have a legit rain harvesting system going.
Right.
We've got the pool.
Right.
So that's a nice cistern. And the guy across the street and the guy next door, they have wells and they're really old and I can take both of them.
Yeah. So I could take them too.
That's sort of my backup plan for the water.
Right.
But what the fuck?
What
the fuck, Casey? Yeah. So the water, we've got $400 or $500 of the crap in the.
By the way, but you know what? We have saved some time. Just buying that bigger watering can has saved me, I bet, 20 minutes.
Plastic watering can. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Bigger watering can.
Well, the metal ones leak.
Yeah. So okay. Maybe. Yeah. All right. Sweet. And then you go down this rabbit hole. You're like, well, which plants actually take up heavy metals? And you're like, I don't want to be doing this fucking search. God damn it. Why the fuck? I don't know. I don't fucking know. And then like you read all this, like I'm on the EPA's website.
And you're reading all this stuff using advice that uses a lot of heavy metals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, heavy metals in the device. And then it's like, well, most heavy metal contaminants are actually from the air. And so that's why you should wash your fruits and vegetables and your leafy greens. So, I mean, if it's in the air already, I mean, why are you worrying about it coming through the soil? You're like, fuck. Fuck. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Watering project.
Watering.
All right. So here's the fourth biggest what the fuck moment we've had here recently is... vaguely, we said we've been on a media diet, but every once in a while, we will see one of our arch nemesis. Your arch nemesis, too, if you're listening to this. You've probably been familiar with the court cases that are being handed against or levied against Bayer, a.k.a. Monsanto, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that have got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma are starting to win court cases. The value...
Billions of dollars.
Bayer stock has dropped by $45 billion.
Blah, blah, blah.
In the last month. So it's one thing to be rooting for that, right? Rooting against these
and
fuckers.
And the EPA has doubled down on it being safe because Monsanto has tested that stuff.
Yeah, they're like,
and
look,
it's safe.
We saw Monsanto's work. They had a lot of money.
They wouldn't put poison out there. Then they'd just get sued. That's a stupid move. Of course it's safe.
Yeah, of course. They don't want to get sued, so they wouldn't put... Yeah. And so we've been rooting against it. We're like, oh, yeah, fuck these guys. Like, that's great. Like I said, media diet. We just, every once in a while, we'll see that. We'll be
the
like,
market
yeah,
will decide.
Yeah, the market will decide. And so we've been feeling that, right? We're like, okay, man, maybe some good is happening. Like, maybe we'll finally ban Roundup. And then have you had this what the fuck moment where you're rooting against Roundup? You're rooting against the corporate behemoths poisoning our world. And then you go to bed snuggling a cat or a dog with a flea collar around their fucking neck made by the same fucking company.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? So I used to use the drops advantage, which I don't know. They're a big chem company too. I don't know which one. But I tell you, I know about those. They travel via neurotransmitters. So they're neurotoxins. And a couple of our cats... like if they see the box, they go hide. They are traumatized by that stuff. So I'm like, I cannot put this on there. But we live in fucking Florida in fleas are a thing, period. And I've seen animals that are flea infested, and it's fucking sad.
Yeah.
And it's unhealthy, and it's bad. So it's like, this is the chemical that we're going to use, but at least there's these new collars that are like legit. They're not just like, they keep the fleas off the an inch above and below the collar.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say the brand name of it, because I just feel like that's wrong. But not wrong against the company, but
well, they didn't pay us any
exactly. That's
podcast.
What I'm saying. Yeah. So even though we're talking shit about it, but that doesn't matter. You can look it up. So I put these collars on them, and I'm like, I mean, two of these cats sleep under the covers with me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it kills fleas and ticks.
Yeah. It's
like
an insecticide.
And I'm like, these things are horrible. They cannot be safe. So what's the other option? So we're looking, and it's like, we have to use diatomaceous earth, and you have to put it all over the animals, and you got to spray it all over the yard. And then you got to, there's this like integrated pest control, which I'm like, okay, we got to do it. But like, to the thought of adding that to my
Jesus
day,
Christ.
I'm like, I don't fucking have time for that shit.
We can't even complete
but
the
like,
poison water project.
We're fucking poisoning ourselves, and we're like worried about the poison in the water, but yet I'm sleeping with fucking two neurotoxin fucking crazy ass chemicals.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Fucking moron, man.
What are we doing?
Fuck? What are we doing? I didn't take the collars off yet because I'm still like, yeah, but fucking fleas and ticks are a thing.
Yeah, so we're like, fuck you, Monsanto, fuck you, Bayer. And then the dog comes up and it's like, rub it on the dog, and they're getting all over the neck, and come here, yeah, come here,
come
here.
We're giving them money, so we're fucking idiots.
Yeah. We're yeah, we hate
it. And if you have a really good flea and tick and you've lived in the South, you have to have lived in the South because it's a different ball game down here. Mm-hmm. Please write, because I'd love to hear it. And not just, I have a small chihuahua and this works. Like, these are very...
You've got a herd.
Outside animals.
Yeah.
So.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck? It's just, you know, you think about this too hard and you're like, I don't know. I guess.
And it's not even like we're trying to do a purity test. We're just like, no, we're legitimately trying to do the right thing, and we're just not sure if there is a right thing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's got us twisted, man. We're like, we are far away from that stream.
Yeah.
And what do we even do here? Like, it's more fucked than we've thought.
Yeah.
Like, we're thinking that we can chart a course through here.
Yeah. And we're like, fucking A, at least not in fucking the US, man.
Yeah. And having embodied already the idea that there is no way, like, you can't, there is no way. But it's like, oh my God, like, we're wrapped up in this.
Right.
Because we can't go next to the pristine stream.
Right.
We're left with the rest of these tools.
Yeah.
And we don't think I guess we're starting to wonder if we can even chart a course through this.
Yeah.
See, the discussion's getting heavier.
The sinkhole's getting deeper.
Yeah.
And wider.
Yeah. What the fuck? And part of the reason we went on this media diet, we should say, is it's because of the what the fuck.
It was weird. I was getting a little fatigued. I was just like,
so much fatigue.
Depressed. And then it was just too much. Just too much. You know, I mean, like, the world's ending. I know. And there's not a lot I can do, but I'm going to do what I can here. And I can't do that if I'm constantly thinking, oh my God, they did this other fucking horrible, stupid thing. Oh my God. You know, what is that information doing to me besides depressing me?
Yeah.
I'm already motivated to do the right thing. I clearly can't do the right thing because I don't know how to do it, but I'm fucking trying to figure it out. And reading this shit is not helping.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, well, listen, I know you're in the middle of your irrigation project and you're weighing the benefits of maybe just allowing yourself to be flea bitten and start the bubonic plague again in your house. And you're thinking maybe that's the right thing to do.
Or even worse, tapeworm.
Yeah. And you're like, you know what? Maybe I want to be chemical free. And then you get the news. They're like, hey, there's only 6.5 orangutans left. So God. I just want to, just as you're factoring in that
and
to
the
your
half
decision
is just,
making.
It's five hands.
Yeah. It's
they're mounted already.
Uh-huh.
And then for sale at Sotheby's.
And so they're thinking maybe you can reanimate those in the next world. But in any case, you know, just go ahead and factor in all that doom and gloom into your decision making at home.
Right.
You know, you're
right.
Like, I don't.
And
well,
let me tell you, when the melon worms show up and that, and you're like, well, the whole fucking world's ending. Get me some fucking chemicals, motherfucker.
Yeah. You're like, we have been through this tunnel over and over again. And recently, you know, like you mentioned the melon worms, but there was a time where I was like, okay, I get why people spray.
Yeah.
There was definitely a
week period where I was seriously considering the idea of spraying. not actually seriously considering buying, but like, now really, what?
Would it be that harmful?
Would it be that harmful if I just did it once?
Yeah.
If I killed everything just once?
Yeah, just a reset because we're getting overrun and these plants look good and then they didn't. And
but
then,
you know what? Here's the thing is that turning off that media at least made it so I could like just take my emotions out of it and just be like, you know what?
Right.
This is, here I am. The end of the world might be happening, but right now in this 3 acres, I got to deal with this problem and I got to do it in the only way that I know how, which is not using chemicals because that's not how I work.
Right.
So motherfuckers, I'm killing some fucking worms.
Oh, worms?
With my hands.
Leaf bugs?
Yeah. Forget it.
Yeah. That's not how we work. Sometimes you just decide, you know what? I'm not using that shit. These are the tools I got.
Exactly.
And maybe that's where this is all like you sort of, you lay in the bed you make kind of thing.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
You're sort of like, there is no right way. And we've all sort of got to find it, but that doesn't mean that we won't have many periods of what the fuck moments to be like, I don't know. Is there something easier? Are we making this too complicated by half?
Right.
Should we just go to Whole Foods?
We're
spending a lot of fucking time in the garden.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But then, you know, I don't know. Beauty happens and.
Yeah.
Food happens and salsa happens.
Oh, yeah. Garden salsa.
Garden salsa. Fucking fuck off, everybody.
And vagrant bees.
Oh, and vagrant bees. And the carrot bees.
Oh, yeah.
Let your carrots go to seed and the bees are, the bumblebees are hilarious.
What's the cool name for when you let it go to seed? Bolting?
Bolting. Yeah. I don't know if that just is for spinach or something, though. Oh. But yeah, when it gets too hot, we've got a whole lot of stuff bolting.
You can use that word out there if you want, bolting.
Yeah, it sounds just cool.
Yeah. You're like, I've gone to seed and bolting.
Yeah.
I'm bolting out of here.
Bolting out of here.
All right. Here's the third biggest recent what the fuck moment. Beauty has happened.
And I think that would be shooting your load, though.
Come on,
I was trying not to.
Bolt.
I was trying not to say it, but I was like, I just think I need to get that out.
I'm glad you did. The sinkhole listeners are happier for it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Cool.
All right. So beauty has happened, as you just said, Casey.
Yeah.
And whether it's the drunk bumblebee or winning some of not all, not even a majority, but winning some of the battles.
Well, no, what the battles have turned into is that this isn't a war. This is a competition. Who gets more food? I'm going to try to get more food. And I've succeeded mostly, except for with the melons.
Yeah, the melons.
The melons.
The melons. That's a sore point. Yeah. The melons. But the tomatoes.
Tomatoes are
like she said, garden salsa. Mm, fresh from the garden. Fresh from the garden. Some great salsa.
Yeah.
And so we have been bringing stuff in, and actually, in addition to watering, the fun part of the labor, although still laborious, has been the picking, actual grabbing and bringing shit inside.
I mean, I'll tell you, I'm picking an hour a day, which is, I'm bringing a lot of food in. I'm bringing a lot of food in, and it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really good.
It's yummy. And then, so she's been, you know, and berries, so a lot of berries and
berries,
peaches. Yeah. The peaches are in season right now. Yeah. Pickles. Lots of different tomatoes,
okra.
What else?
Beans
and shit.
A few different kinds of beans, yeah.
And we, you know, are starting to have abundance. You know, like how many meals have we replaced? Like how much stuff have we not bought at the grocery store? Like we're still far away from being able to make that calculation.
Yeah, but we're buying less fruit.
Definitely buying less fruit.
And less produce altogether, I mean.
Yeah. And
but not none.
Yeah, not none. You know, it hasn't.
But some of that is my learning curve of what to plant and all that stuff, too.
Yeah, and as we're reskilling here and being first-generation gardeners, like, it's fucking, I don't know, like, how many bags do you need before you can have a meal that you can then take out of your budget?
And then there's also, like, so I'm spending all this time, you know, out in the garden. Not to mention that we're also planting things, so it's like, you know, this huge thing. And so I've got this pile up of food, and I'm like, okay, I have no idea what to do with this now. I have no idea. I have a bunch of berries. I got to dry them. I don't know. I tried drying them once and burned the shit out of them.
Oh, yeah. Goji berries. We got goji berries coming out of our ass.
Fucking help me with the goji berries, everybody.
It turns out they taste like little peppers.
They do. They're not very good.
No.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Dried, they're sweet, but even these ones, but I haven't figured out how to dry them properly, and it tastes like shit.
So there is a dehydrator that lives on the counter full-time next to a blender that lives there full-time and almost next to a full-time juicer. We juiced a watermelon that wasn't quite, you know, didn't quite make it there before it fell off the vine. I don't know. We've tried. We had it, Casey had it
I fucking
wrapped
suck
up.
Suck at fucking shit.
Anyway, so the countertop is full of either fresh produce or the shit you need to process fresh produce. And our third biggest what the fuck moment we've been having recently is like, if we were like, what if we were actually good at this?
Right.
You know, like we are just at the beginning of our journey here in KC. Like it's leading to some abundance, like you said. And
we got
really
pickle jars coming out of our ass,
filling up the fridge. And we're starting to have a panic attack inside the kitchen because we're looking like, are we going to need an extensive remodel to process and store all the food we are successful at growing?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, like she's really good at making booch and kefir. And like, so we have that everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we need like a second kitchen
every
for the
other
stuff
day.
We're growing.
Yeah. Every other day I'm doing water kefir and every 10 days I'm doing booch.
Yeah, I mean, really, like, I've already got marked, like, two places in the living room. Well, I'm like, well, I guess I'll get some used cabinets from the fucking Restore mosquito hoarder factory.
Yeah, yeah, so nope. It's like, yeah, it's expensive, and it comes with mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And roaches.
And roaches. Oh, yeah, that's
the roaches.
Great.
You didn't bring
oh,
up the roaches.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Look at this thing. I could turn that into a cabinet. Oh, my God, don't fucking open the drawer. Why is this on the floor? Oh, and this was the clean place. Yeah.
Yeah,
you think, well, it's cheap. I'll keep something out of the landfill. We'll reuse something. It'll look eclectic in here. We can paint it funny.
I know.
Yeah, and you know, we read online somewhere where somebody's like, well, I had so many zucchini. I stored them in plastic containers under my couch. And you're like, is that us? Are we going to have to put the couch on cinder blocks and go to Walmart and get some fucking Tupperware and put fucking zucchinis and tomatoes under the couch? Like, is that our reality?
Yeah,
it
see,
fucking might
I read
be.
About that shit, so it's possible.
Yeah, and so I tell you what I will have. Again, we mentioned there's like two spots in the living room where we're talking counter space.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I've earmarked, it's a three-bedroom house, the closets between the two other bedrooms, not the master bedroom, they're going away.
Yeah.
And I've earmarked this spot for being like a walk-in pantry that I will try to do in an affordable and eco-friendly way. The alternative is to fucking let the food we're growing rot outside.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, crazy.
So, okay. What the fuck? We got to remodel our kitchen now. Sort of. Like on the cheap.
Yeah.
Eco-friendly with...
Well, and then even like, okay, so canning, we're like, okay, we could just can everything. But then we learned, well, you can only use the lids one time. So you could buy in a bazillion fucking lids.
Yeah. Do you know what the person making the lids down the street?
Yeah.
No.
It's insane.
Not to mention the heat, the energy involved.
Yeah.
And like all the canning. Like we went to a fucking canning class.
Yeah. It was a date.
It was a nice date.
It was a great date.
Yeah,
I think a lady, because we were, you know, like half everybody's age or less.
Yeah.
Or more. And one lady, she fell.
Oh, yeah. Ate shit.
Yeah.
Ate shit.
It was funny. I mean, it was sad.
Like, stood up from a chair and bam on the face.
Boom. Yeah. Total old person fall.
Yeah. And it's probably because she's been eating shitty food her whole life.
Yeah. She looked
know?
Like
so,
she was.
So we're like, I guess we should continue on this path. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, we went to a canning class and we were like, this is a fucking operation. Like, you need, like,
oh.
I mean,
oh my God. And you know, the fucked up thing that I read online was somebody, who, you know, there's like a lot of these, like mommy blogger turned homesteaders,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and so you got to
yeah.
be careful you get this information. But I remember like the one thing that hit me in the face with canning, again, preserving foods, is like, well, it really is a labor of love and you got to enjoy it because it still is much cheaper to buy organic, canned, mass-produced fruits and vegetables from the store.
Yeah, that's insane. That's insane.
Yeah, so by the time you get the canning equipment, and especially if you factor in the time...
I don't know who's here.
I don't know.
This is what we get for doing it during the day.
Yeah, the guard dog is pretending she's guarding stuff.
I know,
the wind's blowing. Good job. Anyway, do you have anything to say about the canning dog?
Yeah, no. Get him.
Yeah.
All right, good girl.
Yeah, good girl. All right, so canning, what the fuck? What the
yeah,
fuck?
Yeah, it's all insane. And then you read in the permaculture, they're like, oh, you can just dry stuff on your roof. And you're like, have you been to Florida?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great...
Because, A, you know, they the birds are going to eat it all.
Uh-huh.
And if that doesn't happen, the ants are. And if that's not going to happen, the roaches are. And if that's not going to happen, the mold will.
Uh-huh.
Within 2 hours.
That's why there's a lot of good permaculture literature or videos. And we've got some books sitting on our table here right next to us. And, you know, we've talked a lot, you know, with Mark Heinlein and then since then, you know, about bioregionalism. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of the either growing advice or the permaculture advice, in this case, like storing food, like it's worthless unless it came from somebody 50 miles from your house.
Yeah, it's totally true because everything's different.
Yeah.
I mean, it's becoming more the same in culture, but in true nature, it's still very different.
That's a very good point. I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah. That was like in retro suburbia. It's like, well, like we dry our apple rings just by putting them on sheet cakes and letting them sit on the roof for 4 days.
We're like, what? Have they never heard of squirrels?
That's the lowest energy way to do things. I don't know why anybody would like, what, dude?
Yeah. Yeah. And now, and if we tried to do that in summer,
oh,
like it would be wetter. Dry. They'd be wetter. Yeah.
They'd great. Be wetter. Thanks a lot.
And then they store dry goods. Oh, we just have drawers.
Oh, that was best part.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We don't even have bins or bags or sacks or Tupperware.
It's not just airtight. Like, it's just a drawer.
It's just a drawer with grains in it.
Yeah.
Duh.
Like, really? There's no moss? Because here, if you even like leave, open a bag of rice and leave it open for 10 minutes, you're going to have moss.
And that's why it's like, like, why did you even write this book thinking that that was somehow universally applicable?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, so there's some interesting stories and anecdotes
sure.
in a lot of the stuff.
But
you got, what the fuck? You got to figure it out on your own.
Yeah, you still, everybody's going to have to do it differently because even, it's not even in your bioregion, but your dooryard, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's all very, very specific. And it's fucking hard.
It's fucking hard.
And then you're
hard.
Like, what the fuck? I could just get an office job. And I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah. What the fuck? What
yeah.
the fuck? We're trying to.
I do
trying
not.
Trying to avoid that.
I do not want to do that.
I don't
want to have to be fake all the time.
And so maybe in 5 years, we'll be like, well, we don't know what the fuck anymore. Like, we figured it out.
Yeah,
but right now,
we don't.
The what the fuck quotient, like, and again, maybe you're there.
Yeah.
CarbonSinkholeProtonMail.com. What the fuck shit are you dealing with?
Yeah, exactly.
All new from Flavor Kim, Wasabi Malos. That's right. Just when you thought your mouth couldn't handle more, we've chemically derived two of yesteryear's superfoods, wasabi and marshmallows. Our extensive data implant harvesting delivers to the market exactly what we know you've been craving.
We've combined the flavors of the two most popular food-related internet searches from the 2070s. Wasabi and marshmallow. People said innovation died with the cheap oil, but what's left has been dutifully provisioned for breakthroughs just as these. Extinct flavors brought back to life more successfully than the giraffe.
Wasabi Malos, conveniently available in solid, liquid, or gas forms. Try Wasabi Malos today! 50 years of climate change research can be yours for only 4 days of air credits.
May cause spontaneous mouth and or anal sores.
Well, here's another one. Can you relate? So number two, what the fuck, from Maximum Carbon Sinkhole recently, is in between all this labor of growing food, of trying to make it easier and less labor intensive to grow the food, of gathering the food, of processing the food, of figuring out how you can have more room to process the food so it's not so much labor and the food doesn't fucking spoil on the counter. You're looking around thinking, what the fuck? Some of these are good problems to have. I guess we're figuring it out. I guess we're avoiding that office job. But then you start looking around at all your paintbrushes and your musical instruments and your photography gear and wondering when you're going to get to make time for all that art that you left your office jobs for and moved into the woods to do.
Another example would be a podcast.
What the fuck? Hey, these haven't been that frequent recently, have they?
Yeah, we've been a little bit busy.
Yeah.
I'm
got no days off. This is my lunch break.
Yeah. Like we said, it was raining this morning. We're like, well, that's an hour that we could podcast today, probably.
I don't know when I'll edit it.
Yeah. It could be months.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it sucks. But at the same time, I'm thinking, well, there was definitely more times than not that we were too busy in capitalism entirely to do any of our fucking hobbies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we don't have... We have a little more time to do our cool art hobbies.
Yeah, and maybe. And we feel like this is a learning curve. At least that's what we're telling ourselves, and that it's going to come around. And
the garage has been earmarked to be a painting studio for 3 years.
Yeah, it is now not.
It is. It's half as empty as it once was.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And the painting supplies are in there.
Though it's 100% humidity and 90 degrees. Yeah. So not sure how those painting supplies are doing.
We have paintings that were in progress from when we moved here that are still in boxes. And I hope I remember how to paint.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be fun to relearn.
It will be. After the watering project and the kitchen remodel and the pantry remodel.
And then fall planting will happen.
And then, yeah, I still got to move the fence out back because we need more mulch for the raised garden beds and then the logs, and I got to bring them up. And yeah.
And we got to plant those other trees.
Yeah, and then we got the trees and buckets outside. And they say it takes 4 or 5 years before your place clicks together, right?
So, yeah, yeah.
So maybe on the other side of this, we'll look back and be like, oh, they were just so naive. It was going to work the whole time.
Yeah, and there's this really pretty milkweed growing in the wild pasture that I got to move tomorrow, which I don't have time to do. And why would I move it? Because I want to. Yeah. And I'm a human, and I have a fucking shovel.
I want that to be
on. And I'm going to do it. Because I want to see it more. And plus, all the pollinators are in the yard anyways. The losers are out back. I can come over there.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where the cool pollinators hang out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck? I guess at least we have a path to make art. I guess that's the saving grace.
Yeah, it's like
we've done it here and there. We're painting with flowers.
Like, yeah, that's true. And we really are. And we feel that. JP has built some trellises and we've done some stuff like that, and it looks great. And it's so, yeah, without a doubt, there's some artistic, but at this point, especially because today I think is the beginning of the rainy season, which means being outside is like swimming.
Yeah.
So if you've never been to Florida in the summer, you should go. You'll rehydrate. Your skin will really love it.
You
look
great.
Your hair will love it.
Yeah.
But you know, there's other obstacles. when you're constantly swimming. So, it's exhausting. And I don't know, it's still fun. And I still see an end to it. And I still see... I think the biggest thing for me is that my brain hasn't even been able to be creative because I've been that busy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been like almost to that capitalism level where you don't really turn off because you're always like, don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do this. Oh, you got to do this. Oh, is this thing? Oh, shit, you forgot to check this. You know, and that's what I'm looking forward to, just having it. But a lot of that is learning curve too, because I'm like, shit, I didn't know how to do that.
Yeah. Whatever.
So I do feel like there's an end to the chaos.
And like you said, like maybe at least we're making a fair wage.
I've said that before. I think right now I'm underpaid.
Yeah.
I love the salsa, but the salsa really did really help a lot though, because the salsa was good enough that I was like, this is pretty fun.
I think it was worth $5,000 though. So I had better be good. I mean, I think this is more like we're actually like paying for our internship right now.
Yeah.
It's one of those schemes.
Yeah.
It's where like we had to get an in, we had to call in some favors from an uncle that works at a hedge fund to get us in the door. And then only if we made a donation to the charity that the CEO has. And
so basically Columbia.
Yeah. Columbia. We could have gone the other way.
Right.
And so, but we're paying for this internship.
Okay.
But at least we did get salsa.
We did get salsa.
Yeah, it was really good salsa.
Really good salsa. And there's more to be made. Yeah. It's waiting on the counter, rotting right now.
So that's the upside. That's the upside. All right, here's the number one what the fuck moment. From recently at Maximum Carbon Sinkhole. This one happened to me when I was fucking stoned out of my mind. You remember this one?
I don't know. There's so many times that could have been. I'm like, I don't know. Refresh my shitty memory. Let's do this. I feel like I'm going to learn something new right now.
Have you ever experienced this out there when you've been stoned out of your fucking mind, you've been busting your ass trying to reduce the labor and grow all this shit and enjoy the outdoors and connect with the world, and then you look around your dooryard, in this case or 3 acres, and wonder...
why there's no pot plants.
I know. Like, that would make things better.
Sorry.
Well, that would be like, well, this is why we're here, clearly.
Yeah.
But where the demons have crept in is after all this hard work and all this labor and all this consternation and all this jock itch, you look around your 3 acres, and one day, while you're stoned, you think, wait, are we building eco-friendly resilience with all this adaptive reuse materials, or are we the fucking hoarders with a mental illness? And being able to make good arguments for both.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck, Casey?
What the fuck? I don't have that problem as much because I've been in hoarders' houses.
Yeah, because police. Oh, police.
Yeah, so I've seen that, and we're definitely not even close to that. I mean, we aren't even.
I'm glad you have that perspective, but there is a broken elliptical in the driveway that has been there for about 6 months.
I know, but you to take off the arm parts, which really made a difference.
Yeah, it's collapsed on itself, and I have said... once I get to the bolts, which are now rusty, I'm like, we can use those to hold up sheets that we will need to cover plants with. Okay. So I'm going to reuse this stuff.
So I have a different perspective because at least it's not 3 broken cars in the driveway like another time in our life. Or when we first moved here and the side of the shed was piled high all the way up with stuff that you're thinking of maybe using scrap. It all ended up going to the scrapyard. So we've been in worse spots.
I mean, I think the side of the shed is actually like, I'm pretty ashamed of it. So,
but it's just wood right now. It's just wood right now.
It is just wood and vines and...
blackberries.
And some blackberries under there somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, like this is me thinking. I'm like, you know, on one hand you can blink and you look around and you're like, wow, we've come a long way. And then you turn around and you're like, I think... I need to spend the next week going to the dump. I think I need to throw a bunch of this shit away. Those pallets that I stacked up that I was like, I'm going to use these for the composting. And then I was like, I found a better way. And then I'm like, I don't know what to do with these pallets. But I probably shouldn't throw them. I'll just pile them with the old fence posts and the old fencing materials and the...
We definitely aren't compliant to our HOA.
No.
But luckily, they can't see it from the roads.
Yeah. There's a large old mobile home trailer on the property that we paid for and drug here. And we were like, we're going to make tiny home offices outside. They're going to be mobile, resilient. We can take them with us. And then after we got the solar array, we were like, wait, we don't want to pay for it to air condition in any more space.
Yeah.
So this mobile, it took us a full day to maneuver it into the yard.
It was insane driving it because it was super illegal. And only because JP is white was there no, because we drove past many cops.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is so sketchy and unsafe and like definitely a pub. But we live in a county where people drive drunk all the time. So I'm sure we just look normal.
Yeah. This was in the bottom quartile of problems the cops are dealing with that day.
Yeah. So they're like, I think that guy's not real drunk. So we're going to go ahead and let him go with that trailer. I think he
tried to put lights on him.
Yeah. We don't want to really have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, hopefully he makes it. And so that's in the yard and it's got some old roofing panels on it and some logs that I cut down and carefully have tried to dry it. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with these now. So again, some of the property is like, oh, that looks really cool. And other pieces are like, what are we going to do with that old garage door motor that we took off? Cause it was going to be the new art room, but now it's in the loft with just rat turds in the barn.
There's a lot of rats up there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, one of the hobbies, the art hobbies, is like fixing up old bikes and doing cool stuff with them. And a couple of the old bike frames made it out in the yard and are now really neat looking
trellises
for some pretty flowering vines. But there's a lot more bike parts that are just kind of piled around in boxes and stuff. And in any case, you know, when I think about turning the garage into the art studio, there's a lot of stuff that's got to leave. Maybe this
that's
is
one
me.
Of your hobbies, because I don't think I brought any bike parts or
pallets. What is one of my favorite hobbies that you know about me?
That you like to get stuff and try to find a new home for it.
I do. I like going to the scrapyard.
He loves going to the scrapyard, but not when it's expensive.
Yeah.
He likes to really, there was this pallet he picked up. I mean, this was like pretty funny. So we were driving and it was like a furniture store had like pallets. Yeah. I think they were just out by the road. And I'm like, I'm sure those are free. And so when we came back, you know, JP was like, oh yeah, we're getting those. And I already knew that the first time we drove past him. And but he went in to ask to make sure, cause you know, we're in Florida, he might get shot. So, yeah, he got the okay and he's loading him in. And I saw when he picked up one of these pallets, it was a nice pallet. I'll give you, it was a nice pallet, but I saw his face. It was just like, I mean, he just found the fucking holy grail. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is pivotal. This is probably revolutionary and also historic. And I see him and I'm like, yeah, I see it. But he has to pick this heavy thing up and walk it all the way over because I'm just in the passenger seat waiting. And he's like, look. And I'm like, I know. And he was so proud and it was very cute. So that's him with stuff like that. He likes to grab stuff out of the garbage, which I was a pretty avid dumpster diver back in the day. I mean, some of it was a little survival, but it was mostly fun too. So I respect it. But it does tend to not have a super big plan first. So it sits around for a real long time. And sometimes it ends up going back to where it came from. Sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it ends up being really cool furniture in the house. Mm-hmm. Or artwork or building supplies. Yeah. So I never complain about it unless it has oil.
Yeah. We've had to get rid of some of those oily, sticky, gross things. The pallet, by the way, it's almost like completely filled in on one side. It's, you know, so it's almost like a ready to go table.
Yeah. It's a nice pallet.
See, thank you. It's a good pallet. Yeah. And so thank you, Casey. I guess, I sort of envision like my happy place would be like, you know, like a 40 by 60 workshop that I only had to spend time in. And then it was like, here's some wood crap I found and here's some metal crap I found and here's some other. And then I was just like, aha, like the alchemist, like putting this shit together. And I don't have that workshop, but we still have a lot of that crap.
Yeah, and he's really, really thrifty with his art. So like if he only has one color of paint, he'll only use that until it's gone. And you know, sometimes
I've been banished from using blue.
Yeah, I can't use blue anymore.
I had some paint. I had some blue paint. I put it to use.
I was like, I love that, but it's the same color as the last one and the one before that and the one before that. And I love them all. And I think they're really good, but they're kind of all the same.
Yeah. And like Casey said, I turned an old box spring into a pretty cool bookshelf.
Very cool. Not pretty cool. It was beautiful.
But when we got the new box spring, the old box spring went outside next to the shed and had vines growing up it for about a year. Because I was like, I don't want to throw it away yet. So it was like a real big roll of the dice that something would ever happen to it.
Right.
And that's the state of the elliptical in the driveway.
Right.
You know, next to a bunch
of
other
stuff.
Which
died because it turns out ellipticals can't run in 100% humidity.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of like, I'll get to that. I will get to that. I don't want to throw that away. I will get to that. And I have been struggling with sort of knowing the line. And as Casey said, like, this isn't actually like a health hazard here, but there's some stuff where it's like, JP, are you really going to turn that into a sign that lights up from that salvage battery charger that you bought that didn't work? Are you really going to be able to do that within the next 5 years? And so I'm having to have this conversation with myself, like, when am I actually going to get to that?
Yeah. But remember, because I'm very much of a, if you don't use it, you get rid of it. I don't want to keep it. Move too many times. It's not fucking worth it. But then when we had moved to Colorado last time, that was my thing. I'm like, we have not opened these 6 boxes. We're not going to open them now. We're going to throw them out. But then one of them we opened and it was like a bunch of old, like, memorabilia from we used to make when we partook in Christmas.
Yeah.
We used to make our own ornaments. There was a bunch of that stuff and just crafty little things.
Crafty stuff that we were saving for.
Like, we did shrinky dinks.
The scrapbook stuff. And we were like, oh, well, this.
Yeah.
And, we can't
and
do
so
that.
We can't. I couldn't throw that out.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I should say, Casey, that the closet in the spare bedroom that's going to get torn out and turned into a pantry.
It's full to the ceiling.
Yeah.
I know.
It's full of this stuff.
But we're talking about spring cleaning, and I still would love to do that. Because I have a bunch of clothes that I'm never going to wear.
Yeah, what the fuck? What do we need these for, right?
I mean, I'm like, if it's not comfortable and it can't deal with the garden, like, it can't be in my closet.
This is a great prepper question. It's like, we have all the clothes that we need right now. We're pretty sure. I mean, a lot
and
of
And I can sew. I mean, I don't like to.
Yeah.
And it's not pretty, but I can do
a lot of the, a lot of, like, many of our clothes are stained.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we're cool with that. But we have summer clothes and we have winter clothes. Winter clothes, we're like, should we get rid of these? So if you're a prepper out there, like, should we keep our parkas for nuclear winter?
Oh, yeah.
Or should we get rid of them and use the space? This is the what the fuck, man, what do we do, man?
Well, and we've always been so mobile that even though we want this to be our forever home, we know that life changes and things happen. So it's like, well, what if we had to move somewhere cold? We don't want to have to buy stuff again.
And that's another good macro what the fuck is, like, we've over invested in this place. We think building resilience, but sometimes we're like, what if we have to leave? Like, what if it's not here? What if we were wrong?
Yeah.
What if this wasn't the place for us? What if we can't sustain this lifestyle? We've spent a lot of money and time trying to do something here. What the fuck?
But then I also think, well, people stay places for worse reasons than that they invested in their property. So maybe that's okay.
Casey's putting a lighter spin on it today.
I feel like I'm usually the negative, but I think I'm on positive weed right now. So
that can be all the difference in the world. And we figured out when I was having that what the fuck moment, looking at all the crap around, I was on some paranoia inducing shit.
Yeah. He does better with sativa.
Yeah. See, I'm glad that my doctor's here to keep me on the straight.
I think you also do good at indica, but you don't do good with the hybrids.
See, I fucking love this woman. What the fuck? What the fuck?
He's really funny on the hybrids, but he's a little paranoid.
Yeah. I was like, why is there all this shit around? Oh, and by the way, there's 400 pavers showing up on pallets next week if I needed to do that project. But I'm thinking ahead for the bananas in the bags that are going to have to get rolled inside.
Right. And I got coconut coir coming because I got to put the bananas in the bigger containers because they're going to start flowering, I'm assuming, soon.
Yeah. And so those pallets are going to come in handy because I got to put wheels on them and the bags are going to live on them. We're growing almost all our shit in bags, grow bags and stuff like that. So we've got a plan, and some of it has come together. Some of it has come together and produced unintended consequences. A lot of the plan is still in progress. And probably if you have gone through this or are planning to go through this, you will reach many what the fuck moments as you are trying to figure out what the fuck any of us are doing.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy, man.
Write us a
Nothing makes sense.
Nothing makes sense.
Try prove us wrong.
Yeah, if you have the answers, if you can solve our what the fucks, write us carbonsinkhole at protonmail.com.
Yeah.
And what the fuck, I don't know. This is our art thing. This is our release. We like doing this too, but you know, we're not doing it every week.
Yeah, we just can't. Will it change? Yeah. I don't know.
And we've got some big plans for it, actually, in terms of like group art projects and official.
I know we've been teasing stuff, and we want to do more than that, but we just haven't had time. And I will say this: maybe you liked our Earth Day. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you were like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
But either way, we plan on more.
Yeah. 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 If you haven't checked out our Earth Day Live episode yet,
check it
good
out.
Good luck.
Check it out. But I highly recommend at least listening to the episode before because you might not get one of the characters.
Or just hop in.
Like,
that's a skill you got to learn in the second world is you just got to go, nobody knows how to do that, so you can figure it out.
Right. It's all about having fun, exploring the second world the only way we know how, which is we don't.
Stoned.
Stoned is good.
Yeah.
Stoned is recommended unless you're a loser. No peer pressure or anything, but I just really think that if you can't handle it, man, then
if you want to live in our eco village, you have to be a functional stoner.
You have to be a functional stoner, yeah. And you will have to want to get into a drum circle, which we don't have now, but someday.
We'd like
to. That's like super cool.
Yeah.
Right?
We want to speak on the plant. What the fuck? What the fuck, right?
What the fuck?
What the fucking fuck?
Right. Also, I would like to say that we lost a very dear member of our family.
Miss you, homie.
And the past couple weeks, it was a cat who was the weirdest, kindest little critter I've ever known. And he died too early and he died tragically. And it really fucked me up. And JP. So I just want to say that Wally was one of the coolest cats I ever knew. And I'll miss him. And I know that it's weird to hear somebody talk about their dead cat. But this is all I have. So I'm talking to you about my dead cat. So...
Yeah, so tough shit.
Tough shit. Think of, he was teabagged when he was a little kitten, so he had a teabag marking on his face. And he was cute and he was sweet and he was an awesome fucking cat and he got acute pancreatitis and it killed him in less than 36 hours.
Yeah, and we had no idea. We knew pancreatitis, but we didn't know acute was a thing. And, you know, that was a big what the fuck moment, and now we've got a bunch of plants with him and a bench,
yep,
and another raised garden bed over
and
there.
With beautiful flowers, and it was his favorite spot to lay in the yard. So.
Yeah, and now we sit over there and say, "Wally, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, man.
What are we doing here, Wally? So, miss you, dude."
And that's it, right?
And I guess you know, at the end of the day, the cats they make the what the fuck questions almost irrelevant, right?
They make the world go round.
Right. CarbonSinkHole@protonmail.com. What the fuck?
Bye.
I just gotta be honest with you. I'm not one of them bullshit show business people, man. Who makes believe everything is going okay. You know? Because everything is not going okay.